In this microphone.
Some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess Yes, I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me. The very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burden and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. Thrilling, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I don't care who tells me salvation is not real, though the world may argue that we cannot feel the heavy burden lifted and the vile sin go. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burden and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. Really, I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burden and gave me peace within. Satan can't make me doubt it. Thrilling, I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Satan can't make me doubt it. Thrilling, I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
I walk by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones, traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed a garden where old Joseph left him laid, the precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you'd know he's living and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and step into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you. to pull you safe from death to life. Friends, I too have stood where you stand. Should I trust in sights unseen? Just one step in his direction, then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection deep inside, you know he's living. Thank you.
old-time religion. Give me that good old-time religion. That old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. Will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Brother O'Neill, I don't have any use for this modern garbage they're calling religion. Amen. I don't have any use for a religion. Don't know anything about shouting. Amen. I don't have any use for a religion that's so formal that the Holy Ghost of God couldn't get in if he wanted to. Amen. Have no use for this modern religion where the young people sit on the back rows and make out back there during church. Have no religion. Have no use for that. Have no use for this modern religion that don't know where the Word of God's at. Have no use for this modern religion. Don't know anything about holy living. Give me that old time religion. Amen. That's good enough for me. Amen. Let the world have that garbage out there. As for me and my house, just give me that old time religion. Amen. That's what, Brother O'Neill, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the foundation you've laid here at Longview Baptist Church and all that you've done. Hey, Brittany. Huh? Well, the light's on. Amen. Your daddy turned it on. Green? It's green. Amen. I don't know. I never can figure these things out. Uh-oh. There we go. Amen. Now, you know how this works, Brittany. You remember how I told you? You turn it up till their ears start bleeding, and then turn it down just a little bit from there, okay? Make sure. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you can't hear, does no good. So again, Brother O'Neill, I wanted to say I appreciate you. Appreciate what the foundation that you've laid here. And then I appreciate Brother Fisher building on that foundation, not changing, amen. I mean, this thing ain't a bit different than it was 15 years ago when I first met Brother O'Neill. Ain't no different, amen. Different crowd sometimes, but same religion, amen. Same shout, same Bible, same songs. And don't lose that. Don't change that. Amen. Just keep it the same. Proverbs chapter 29. Don't try. Here, you turn to Habakkuk. Now, I figure most of you, it's going to take you a while to get there. So I'll get started while you're looking for Habakkuk. Amen. And Brother Bob, I didn't say tobacco. I said Habakkuk. Okay? He started reaching for his pocket up here. I don't know. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. All right. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, I think the essential or an essential for a growing on fire church is a vision. And I think an essential for a growing Christian is a vision. I think when we lose our vision, then we start dying. We're not going anywhere. It's just coming to church because we're supposed to. It's just reading our Bible because we're supposed to. It's just going through da-da-da-da-da-da-da, going through the motions of our religion, and that when there's no vision, it's just same old, same old. Where there is no vision, you're going to perish. So I challenge you right now, I'm going to pray in a second, and I challenge you, don't just sit there and let me pray up here on the platform. I want you to ask God in our prayer here in just a second, Lord, what is the vision that you want me to have, not just for 2011, but how about for the rest of my life? That may be a day, a week, a month, a year, a century. I don't know how long it's going to be. But why don't you right now ask God for that vision that God wants you to have? You see, God has a vision for you. Hello? Say amen right. Every one of them. I don't care, youngest dear, oldest dear. God's got something He wants you to do. Amen. And He'll tell you about it if you'll seek it. And if you'll ask God for that vision. Y'all found a Russell, you found a Habakkuk? Huh? Amen. You're in the Old Testament. You're getting close. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you tonight in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, and God, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. Father, I ask you tonight, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd come down on us tonight. Lord, you'd fill us and take control of us and empower us and speak to us, God. Lord, where there is no vision, Lord, I don't want my life to be a visionless life. Lord, I don't want my friends here with me tonight. I don't want this great church to be a visionless church. Lord, I pray tonight that you would come down. And Lord, like you did old Isaiah there in chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Lord, I want you to take us tonight and help us to see you. Help us tonight to get a vision of God and a vision of the work of God and the vision of what you want us to do tonight. God, please, Lord, to every one of us tonight, I pray for all the surrendered preachers in here tonight, God, that you would especially give them a vision tonight. I pray, God, for every man in here that has a heart and a desire to do something for you, I pray, God, you'd give them a vision tonight. I pray right now, Lord, that each one of us would just ask you with sincerity and all of our heart, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Help us to see what you want us to see right now. Lord, please, God, help us to see ourselves a year or 5 years from now. What do you want us to do? Lord, what do you want us to do? God, give us a vision. Please, Lord, do what we can't do. Do what I can't do. Do what man can't do. And God, you give us a vision. Where there is no vision, Lord, help us not to be that kind of people tonight. Help us to be a people with a vision. Lord, we pray and we beg it and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone said there's five kinds of people. Number one, there's the wishers. Those that sit around and, I wish I could. I wish, I wish, I wish. A dream is more than just a wish. Amen? A dream, it looks beyond what I can do. Some live their lives wishing but getting nothing done. There's the wishers. Then there's the whiners. Amen? You know anybody like that? Don't say amen. These are ones that whine that things are never right for them. They find the bad in everything. They find the negative in everything. The whiners. Life is never fair to the whiner. And then number three, there's the what's happening-ers. They don't have a clue. Amen? They come into church like this and the preacher's preaching and people are shouting. They're looking around like, what's happening? Amen? They don't get it. They don't know. It's all foreign to them. They got the same Bible that you got, but they don't ever see anything in it. What's happening? We talk about Jesus coming again, and they look around like, what's happening? Amen. Well, you have somebody like you did this morning walk the aisle, trust Christ as Savior, and get baptized, and they're sitting there looking their watch, wondering, what's happening? What's happening-ers? And then number four, there's the walking wounded. Hello. Those that have been hurt, disappointed, and are living in the realm of discouragement. Let me just pull up right here and pull my emergency brakes up here and park a minute right here. The walking wounded. There's nobody in here hadn't been hurt. There's nobody in here that hadn't had a difficulty in your life. There's nobody in here that hadn't went through some losses and some defeats and some hard times. But look me in my God-given eyeballs, amen? Get over it. Amen. Shut up whining. Quit being a crybaby. And again, I don't mean to sound ugly. I sometimes just can't help it. But my goodness. Hey, it's not about you. There's somebody right outside these doors that's dying and going to hell. Amen. And you're sitting in here boo-hooing. Amen. And you're not going soul winning because you got hurt one time. You're not teaching a class because you got hurt one time. You're not doing anything for God, so some preacher hurt you one time. Hey, Brother J.C. Howe said, build a bridge. And get over it. Amen. Just get up and go on. Everybody's been hurt. And let me give you a revelation tonight. Amen. I've been here tonight. I'm getting a revelation. I'm getting a word from God now. Hey, you're going to be hurt again. If you let those hurts stop you all the time, if you're always walking wounded and crying about what's happening to you, hey, just go on. Just go on. You get to heaven, you cry and whine up there. Lick your wounds up there. But down here is way too much to do to be one of those walking wounds. Everybody has been hurt. And everybody's going to be hurt over and over and over and over again. Yeah, somebody hurt you, okay? Well, okay, put it behind you and go home. You ought to hit this old-fashioned altar tonight and ask God to forgive you for being a walking wounded and get up and go on. Amen. Don't you admire those guys? Eldon's telling me about a guy that lives down the street from him that stepped on a landmine, had both legs and one arm blew off in Vietnam or somewhere, and he's up doing what he can do. Don't you admire those people? Well, what's different about them than you? I mean, you got your feelings hurt. You got wounded spiritually. So what are you going to do? You go sit around and collect your welfare check the rest of your life? And do nothing? Hello?
Amen.
Look around. Look around. Look around. Turn your heads. Look at the empty seats tonight. There's room for a few more in here. So it's not time to stop yet. There's much land left to be conquered. And then number five, there's the winners. There's the winners. There's the winners. They decided to overcome the obstacles. They know that in order to play tomorrow, you need to pay the price today. They have a vision, and they're working toward that vision. Now, you're one of them. You're in there somewhere. You a whiner or you a winner? Habakkuk starts off in the book of Habakkuk as a whiner. Chapter 1, verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Oh, Lord, here, listen to him. How long shall I cry, and thou will not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Habakkuk started off this book as a whiner. The name Habakkuk means this. It means one that clings, or one that leans on. Much like a vine would grow up beside of a tree and cling to that tree or lean on that tree. Many are like that today. They don't have any backbone. They don't have any goal. They don't have any vision in their life. And they're clinging, they're leaning on somebody. That's why if somebody lets them down, if somebody falls, then they fall down. So Habakkuk starts off here as one that's whining. Now here's the history of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he knew that the Babylonians were being raised up at this time, and God, they start again. The Babylonians start off as no kingdom at all, and they begin to raise up and become a power in the area, and they begin to conquer these other nations. And God let Habakkuk in on the fact that they were going to conquer Israel. And that these were heathen, these were ungodly people, and God was going to use them to come in and judge His people Israel. And so Habakkuk is sitting here, and he saw this. God gave him that vision. He didn't understand why that a holy God would allow a heathen nation to judge Judah. He was complaining. He was angry. He was ranting and raving. You ever get mad at God? Amen. You ever get upset? That's what he was doing right here. Verse 1, again, he saw this trouble coming. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Verse 2, he had a bad attitude. Look at this. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not say. He was, God, how long? I'm trying to tell you. God, why are you doing this? He was upset. He had a bad attitude. Verse 4, he was blaming. Therefore the law is slack. Judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment. Whoa. Telling God, God's wrong? Wrong judgment. Lord, this is not right. Wrong judgment. Blaming and upset at God. In verse 5, God steps in and says, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. He's in the midst of this problem, whining, that Habakkuk said, God said, Habakkuk, listen to me, boy. He said, I'm fixing to show you something that you're not going to believe what I'm going to do. He says, again, in chapter 1, verse 5, first word, behold. That word behold means open your eyes and look. He said, I'm going to give you a vision. And then he goes down through the next, the rest of this chapter and gives Habakkuk a vision of what he's going to do. Verse 6, he said, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling place that are not theirs. They're terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from far. And they shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come for all violence. Their faces will sup up as the east wind. And they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings and the princes and shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing his power unto his God. Then verse 12 says, art thou from everlasting? Here's Habakkuk talking now. God tells him all that's going to happen. And Habakkuk changed his mind. Listen to this. Rather than complaining and blaming God, as verse 5, something changed here. He said, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. And he goes down the rest of that chapter, bragging on God. Chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that they may run that readeth it, for the vision is yet for the appointed time and at the end it shall speak. What was it that changed this whiner into one that's bragging on God and said, God's going to give us the victory? What was it that changed him from one that was down and discouraged and defeated to one that was bragging and encouraging the people? And God, I'll tell you what it was. It was a vision. God gave him a vision and he went to work doing and serving God because of that vision that God gave him. And then in chapter 2 and verse 4, he penned, listen to me, probably the greatest verse in the Old Testament. When he said, behold, his soul which is lift up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. What was it that made the difference from one over there that was going around saying, God, why are you so mean to me? To one that says, the just shall live by faith. Tell you what it was, God opened his eyes, gave him a vision. God gave him a vision. What was your vision tonight? What is your vision? What would you like to do for God? If God gave you the ability to do anything that you could dream, what would you dream? What would be your vision? I guarantee you it probably wouldn't be sitting home on Sunday morning whining. Wouldn't be going around like a little crybaby blaming and crying about God. What would you want to do for God? Wouldn't you like to do something to change the world? Wouldn't you like to do something that changed the world? Joel 2:28 said, "The old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions." Habakkuk, he said, "Behold, I see a vision. I see something that God is going to do down the road." A vision is when God puts a fire in your heart and motivates you to try great things. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Or is your life just Hey, when was the last time you stepped out by faith and did something for God? When was the last time you felt that fire in your heart and you said, "I just can't sit still"? When was the last time you jumped up out of your seat in the middle of a sermon and dove into this old-fashioned altar and made a commitment for God? When was the last time that God spoke to you in the night and took away your sleep and you're there dreaming about what God wants you to do? A vision without action is only a dream. Action without vision is only passing of time, but action with a vision is making a positive difference in your world. We are limited not by our abilities, but by our vision. Amen. We worry too much about what I can do. We need to get our eyes off of I and our eyes on God, see what He can do. Vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. Amen. Noah got ready to build that ark. He saw it. Nobody else did. He said, "His boys, go get me a plank. I can see it. I'm getting ready to start building a boat out here." Nobody else saw that, but Noah did, because he had a vision from God. Vision looks inward and becomes duty. Vision looks outward and becomes aspiration. Vision looks upward and becomes faith. The just shall live by faith. The most pathetic person in the world is the person who has sight but has no vision. That was quoted from Helen Keller. Vision without a task is only a dream. A task without a vision is but drudgery, but a vision with a task is a dream fulfilled. He who can see the invisible can do the impossible. Well, we're just here in this little old church over in the corner of Fort Worth. Hey, God is not limited to these four walls. God is not limited to the city limits of Fort Worth, Texas, or Tarrant County. God is a God that loves the world. And all it's going to take is one person that's sold out to God and gets a vision from God and will change this world. He who can see the invisible can do the impossible. When's the last time you did the impossible? Are you limited by the boundaries of this life? Noah had a vision. He saved his world. Joseph had a vision. He changed his world. Nehemiah had a vision. He built a wall around Jerusalem. David had a vision. He slew a giant. Paul had a vision. He evangelized the known world at that time. What's your vision? What is your vision? You young people, what's your vision? Come on, think. Hey, quit just letting get your mind out of idle, out of neutral, and think a minute. What would you like to be doing 10 years from now? What would you like to be doing? Say, "I'd like to be pastoring a church. Man, I'd like to be preaching the gospel. I'd like to be an evangelist, traveling the world, and setting revival fires wherever I go." Woo! Glory to God. I'd like to be a Rick Martin in the Philippines and start 1,000 churches. I'd like to be a Kevin Wynn down in Mexico and run a church running 20,000. I'd like to be a Jack Scott and pastor the greatest church in America. Hey, what do you want to do? "I just want to make a living and have a family." Well, God bless your poor pathetic soul. I mean, what do you girls want to do? "What do you want?" "I just want to get married and have somebody." Hey, why don't you do something for God? Amen. Why don't you quit worrying about what you can't do and worry about what, well, I can't preach or pastor. Hey, there's 1,000 things you can do for God. Get out of your little whiny mode and purpose. You're going to do something for God. Habakkuk had a vision, and he said in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. What's your vision now? Wake up. What's your vision now? What's your vision now? Hey, Grandma. Hey, Grandpa. What's your vision now? Well, I've done lived my 80s. I can't do anything. You know, hey, listen, can you write a letter? Can you make a phone call? Well, I know the answer to that. Amen. Can you stop your neighbor? If you go to Walmart, you go soul winning. Hello. If somebody knock on your door, can you open it and ask them if they're going to heaven? Anybody ever get a wrong number? Huh? I pick that phone up. Talk to them about the Lord. What caused Habakkuk's vision? What caused the change in his life? He got something from God. Let me give you number one, the characteristics of a vision. Characteristics of a vision. First of all, a vision must be requested. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower. Ezekiel said that we're the watchman who will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. You know what I think he's saying there? He said, my sleep was taken away from me. I was out on the wall. I was watching. I wanted to get something from God. I was looking for something from God. You know what? I've learned this, Brother Brian. Is most people that get visions want visions. Most people that get a word from God want a word from God. Most people that hear the Word of God want to hear the Word of God. Those that come to church and sit there and got their Bible in their laps and just kind of sit there and zone out, they don't get anything from God. It's that one sitting on the end of his seat with his Bible open and their pen in their hand, and they can't hardly wait, and they're hanging on every word of the preaching, every word of the song, and they're listening and they're saying, oh God, give me something tonight. Oh God, speak to my heart tonight. Oh God, give me a vision tonight. Well, I didn't get nothing from that service. Duh. You ain't going to get anything with that attitude. Why do you come to church? Why are you here tonight? Did you come looking for something? Did you come with your cup full or empty and lift it up and say, oh God, fill my cup tonight. Oh God, give me something. A vision must be requested. Do you even want one? I dare say most people don't want one because that would kick them out of their comfort zone. They're afraid to ask God for it. They're scared to death God might ask them to come out on Thursday night. Thank you for those three amens. I appreciate that. They're scared to death that God might ask. Listen, I still get excited about our old Thursday night soul winning bus. I still get excited about getting on that bus. And what? I went and visited Brother Poole a minute ago. Some of you don't know him, Brother Poole. It was an old guy in our church. He got saved when he was 65, 70 years old. Brother Poole, hear me talk about soul winning, hear me talk about Thursday night. He comes to me one day and he said, Brother Mickey, I want to learn to be a soul winner. I said, well, Brother Poole, there ain't but one way to learn how to do it. And I didn't give him a book to read, and I didn't give him a cassette tape to listen to. I said, come and go with me. Because soul winning is caught a whole lot better than it's taught. So him and I went out, and we'd go knocking doors. And we'd knock doors, and I'd talk to people, and God give us a soul every once in a while. And one Thursday night, Brother Poole said, Brother Mickey, tonight's the night. I want to do it. And it don't always happen like this. But I'll never forget those apartments there by Southwood Baptist Church on Alta Mesa, and Brother Poole knocked on that door. And this middle-aged lady come to the door, and Brother Poole's talking about, you know how it is, we chit-chat a little bit and kind of work them into, you know, making friends with them, and then we try to quietly spring the question on. Brother Poole, hello, how you doing? If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Just about like that. And I promise you, I have never heard anybody butcher the plan of salvation as much as Brother Poole did that night. He went from having them lost to heaven to hell to this to that. And then after you know, a minute or two, he said, "Ma'am," he said, "would you like to get saved? Take my hand." And she grabs his hand in tears right now. And she goes, "I want to get saved." And he led that woman to Christ right there. Now, you know what that teaches me? It ain't us that do it anyhow. It's God. But Brother Poole got a vision. Now, tonight, he's had a stroke. He can't hardly get a sentence out. But I'll guarantee you, I thank God that he used that last little bit of his life doing something for God. He had a vision. "Well, I'm too old." Shut up. I don't care what you say, you're too. A vision must be requested. I'd like to see this altar tonight covered with people down here begging God for a vision. I'd like to see this altar, Brian, wet with tears of people saying, "God, give me a vision. Give me a..." You know, honest to goodness, I feel like my vision tonight is greater than it's ever been in my life. Amen. It seems like the older I get, the more I realize, Brother O'Neill, how short time is. And if I'm going to do anything, I want to do it now. Let's get busy. A vision must be requested. Secondly, a vision must be revealed. A vision must be revealed. A vision, listen to this, is born out of a dream. Now, I think God gives a vision, but I think we can develop our own dreams. I think we can. I think that a dream comes from just an inward desire and a submission and a surrendering to the Spirit of God. And as we dream those dreams of what God could do, then God will direct us with a vision. Three things. A vision, number one, how to get that vision. Number one, here it is. Y'all ready? You're not going to like it. Go to work. Right where you're at, go to work. Go to work. Go to work. Go to work. Now, don't raise your hands, but how many of you brought a visitor to Sunday school last year? Last year, 52 weeks? Did you find anybody out there that you might... Hey, you ought to be bringing people to church. Hello. Don't look at me like that look. You. If you hear me tonight and understand me, you ought to be bringing people to church. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Are people out there that don't have Jesus going to hell? Amen. Then don't you think we ought to do something about it? Amen. You ought to be bringing... Now, listen, you may not be able to win souls even, but you can bring somebody to church. Man, there's nothing like... I love going out Thursday night, just knock. I love... Listen, maybe I'm a little crazy, but I like just door knocking, cold turkey, don't know... I like it. All right? And I could just about guarantee you, if I go a Thursday night, I'm going to get two or three people that are going to say, "Yeah, we might come sometime." They're out there. Listen, I'm going to give you a secret. Everybody out there don't go to church. Now, everybody may tell you they do, but they're lying. Everybody don't go to church. So I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to get me two or three good prospects on Thursday night. Now, you take, well, how long are you out Thursday night? Maybe 45 minutes on the street. Time he kicks you off the bus, and time he picks you back up, 45 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. 30 minutes, if you can knock on, 20 doors, you're going to talk to 10 people. You're going to get a couple that are going to say something like, "Yeah, I may come sometime." You know what you do? When they shut the door, then you get your pen and your 3x5 card out, and you write down 2312 this street. Okay? Are you listening? You're not writing this down. You're not going to do it if you're not writing it down. Okay? You write it down. Okay? Now, when you get back that night, you're going to have two or three addresses. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. If that's all you do, they ain't never coming to church. They are not going to come because you just knock on their door one time. Here's what you do. Saturday. Hello. Turn the cartoons off. Turn the football. I've never seen adults watch cartoons before like I have lately. Amen. Cartoons off. Turn the football game, the baseball game. Turn it off. Get out of bed. That'd be unique, wouldn't it? And you get those three addresses you got. and you go back to that house on Saturday sometime, knock on their door, hey, remember me? Yeah, I was here by Thursday night. Hey, I just wanted to come by and remind you, I'd sure love to have you come tomorrow. Well, one of them's going to have to work tomorrow. Another one's going to go going out of town. But one, maybe not every week, but every once in a while, they say, you know, I think I will. Amen. All right? Amen. Then you call them, offer to pick them up. Do whatever you got to do to get them here. Right. Now, they're not always going to come, are they, Miss Teresa? Sometimes they're going to lie to you. But you go back next Thursday night, another 30, 45 minutes, write down two or three more names. Next Saturday, go by. Now, there's one of them that you're going to go by. They say, you blankety-blank Baptist, don't ever come back. Or, let me tell you something better than that. Give it to your preacher. Say, this is a good prospect for you, preacher. Don't look at me and lie. You've done that. Some of y'all have done that to me. So now you got about half a dozen names. Now instead of taking 10 minutes, you take 30 minutes and you go out, knock on them doors, and you keep, and that one that told you this coming last week didn't come. Say, hey man, I missed you. I know you must have got sick last week. And just ask them again. And then you go back the next Thursday night, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, get you three more names. You go back the next Saturday, visit a few more minutes. Are y'all getting this? Look at me. Look me in my eyes. It works. We started a Sunday school class 13 weeks ago. We're averaging 40 now. You know how we're doing that? Going out on Thursday night, knocking doors, going out on Saturday, following. How many of you remember I gave y'all little pocket notepads one time? I taught you how to do this. Most of you didn't do it. But I'm just telling you, it works. Are you happy with your Sunday school class running six? I never happy with six or eight or 10 or 12 or 40. Man, 40 just fires me up. They moved it. We built the class, and in 10 weeks they had to move us out of that room into another one. First Sunday was in there, we packed it out. I'm getting the auditorium before long. Vision must be revealed. You go to work where you're at. Well, that's a preacher's job. No, it ain't. That's your job. If you're a Christian, that's your... Hey, wake up! It's your job. Go to work. Number two, go to the Word. You want a vision? Get in that book. Amen. You're not going to read in there very long. Man, this is the sissiest pulpit. Got stuff laying on. Go to the Word. Get in that book. God will give you a vision. You go to work where you're at. Then go to the Word. And then number three, go to the wise. Go talk to your preacher. You want a vision? Hey, he'll give you a job to do. Go to the wise. Go to somebody out there that you can trust, you can depend on, that's getting the job. Don't go to some deadbeat. Don't go over here to that complaining, backslidden deacon. So I don't know about that preacher, what he's doing down there. Hey, don't do that. You'll be backslidden just like he is. Go to somebody that's on fire. Go to somebody that stands up and said, hey, I led somebody to the Lord this week. Go to him and say, hey, I want to go with you next week. Amen. Hey, I want to be with you next week. Watch what God will do. Man, all of a sudden it'll be like somebody lit that fuse like the old Wile E. Coyote. Amen. Woo! You know, that bomb go off in you and you're gone doing something for God. Characteristics of a vision, it must be requested. It must be revealed. Number three, it must be received. Verse 2, chapter 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth. It must be received. God give you the vision, you got to accept it. You know something I've learned about God? You say no to God, he's going to quit talking to you. When God starts giving you that vision, don't say, I don't know. God, no, say, hey God, I don't know if I can do this or not, but give it to me. I'm willing to try. I'm willing to step out. Hey, I'll do it, God. It must be received. Accept. Listen, there's nobody in this room, that was as shy and introverted as I was when I was their age. I graduated from high school, Brother O'Neill, 6 foot tall, didn't weigh 80 pounds. I was skinny. Somebody told me when I wore shorts, it looked like two strings hanging out with knots tied in them. That's why I don't wear shorts, amen? Listen, I was shy. I wouldn't talk to anybody. But you know, something happened to me one day in November 1970 when the Holy Ghost came into my heart. When I got saved, I got a vision. I got something to talk. I didn't have nothing to talk about before then, but I got something to talk about then. I received that vision. And then number four, a vision must be recorded. He said, write it down. I think what he's saying there, you know, hey, act on it. Write it on the tables of your heart. Do something about it. Don't just have some pie in the sky. Well, Brian, you've heard them. Well, I want to be a preacher. Well, hey, you want to be a preacher? Build a Sunday school class today. You want to be a preacher? Build a bus route today. Some of you guys, you're getting big enough. You ought to be bus captains yourself. Hey, if you don't have a bus, make your mama drive her car. How many people can you put in a car? Huh? I mean, listen, you're in Fort Worth. You can put 50 Mexicans in a car. Amen. Hey, get one of these out here. You know, it's a shame. Drive one of these big old suburban cars in, you know, pull in the parking lot, and two people get out of it. You ought to be out here on Sunday morning counting the cars and seeing who's got that car. Call them up on Saturday and say, hey, listen, I've got some people who want to come. Will you pick somebody up for me tomorrow? And they'll say, you know, they'll hesitate, but they got to do it. Amen. They'll look like they're backslidden as the devil if they don't. And they'll say, yeah. And so you go out Saturday and you line up about 10 people. Amen. And when they come to pick you up on Saturday or Sunday morning, say, we got one over here. And they drive over there and they say, all right, let's go to church. And you say, wait, I got one more. And make them drive over to that one. And say, hey, I got one more. And make them drive. Hey, you pull in here and that car just pukes out, kids. Amen. They open them doors. It looks like one of those little Volkswagens at the circus. Clowns coming out and coming. You want to tell you what God's going to do? He's going to get a hold of that person's heart. But more than that, you do it. You do it. Quit saying, well, you know, I don't know what to do. Do something. A vision must be requested. It must be revealed. It must be received. It must be recorded or acted on. Secondly, not only the characteristics of a vision, but the components of a vision. What is it that makes up a vision? First of all, there has to be, listen to this, intimacy with God. There has to be intimacy with God. Now troubles, listen to me, can drive you away from God or they can drive you to God. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I serve the Lord. Okay, you've had trouble. Let it drive you to God. Go out and do something. And I've said this, some of you have heard me say this for years. If the devil figures out he can get you out of church by giving you troubles, what is he going to do? Yeah. Hello? Hey, you're going to be loaded with troubles. If he knows you'll stay home every time you have a little problem, every time you have a little fuss and fight, and if you have this or have that, if you know you'll stay home, he's going to give you one every Sunday morning. But if you determine in your heart, I'm not going to let him do that, I'm going to serve God no matter what the devil, he'll give up on that. He'll try something else, but he'll give up on that. Amen? Amen. Right. Intimacy. How's your walk with God? You know, if I'm God and I'm going to give somebody a vision, I'm looking for that old boy that's on his face out in the backyard in the morning with his hands up toward heaven and said, oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm looking for that guy. I'm looking for that mama that's walking around the house and, oh God, speak to me. Oh God, do something in my family. Oh God, please come and be here. Listen, if I'm God and I'm going to give a vision, that's who. Listen, I'm looking for that kind of person. That, you want a vision? You need to get close to God. God, most of the time, God don't shout. God whispers that still, small voice. And God doesn't want to yell. God doesn't want to make us do right. God's wanting somebody with their Bible open and tears falling down on it from their eyes, and they're praying, and, oh God, oh God, oh God, and they're going to get something from God. And where are you at? Are you and God like this? Or are you like this? Amen. Hey, I loved yesterday. 1-1-1-1. Amen. I love that date. You know, when I realized that we were driving over here the night before, I realized that was going to be the date. I said, man, that's great. 1-1-1-1. Start all over again. Hallelujah. Days 1-2-1-1. Now let's get close to God. Let's get close to God. Amen. So the components of visions and intimacy with God. Number two, there has to be imagination. Look at this. Chapter 1, verse 5. He said, behold, here's God talking to Habakkuk. Behold ye among the heathen and regard the wonder marvel. He said, look, Habakkuk. For I will work a work in your days that you will not believe, though it be told to you. What do you want to do for God? Quit thinking in your little realm of possibility. Look outside that. You know what I think God said? Hey, let me give you the vision. You ain't going to believe this. You are not going to believe what I want to do with you. It's a lot bigger. Brian, it's a lot bigger than these four walls. Why say, let's pack this building out. Hey, let's say, let's pack the convention center out. Amen. Hey, what are you putting here? A couple hundred? There's probably 2 million people in Dallas and Tarrant County not going to church, not saved. And we're worried about 200? Get a vision. Get a dream bigger than what you can dream. A bus, Russell? How about I used to drive by that school bus place down there on I-20, wherever it's at. I used to drive by that place. I said, oh, God, look at all them buses that bunch of heathen got out there. Oh, God, give them to us. I'd drive up and down I-20 and see them apartments just, you know, all over the place, and thousands of people. I'd see them thousands of cars driving by. I remember saying to people in the car, I said, what do you see over there? Looking at what? I said, you see a bunch of cars? I said, those are souls. There has to be imagination. What would you like to do for God? Amen. What would you like to do for God? Come on, think about it a minute. Aunt Jenny, 55 years teaching Sunday school. Hey, we've come this far by faith. It ain't time to quit yet. Amen? It's not time to quit yet. Hey, she's just getting started. There's a whole new generation of little rugrats around here. Amen? That need to hear from Aunt Jenny. There has to be intimacy. There has to be imagination. Thirdly, there has to be intensity. Here's a word that's lacking in most Christians' life: passion. Passion. I'm so sick. I'm sick to death of preachers preaching with no passion. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you a pretty little outline today. Point number one, da-da-da-da-da. Point number two, thank you for your attention today. Let's go home. Thing I'm not Baptist Temple. There'd be some microphones about six rows back right there, buddy. Amen. Shut up. That's all you got. Don't even preach. Man, there ought to be a fire lit in your heart sometime that you say, Brother Fisher, I got a message. It's not alliterated. I'm not even sure I'm interpreting the verse right. But God said something to me, and I got to tell it. Amen. And get up here and cry. When was the last time you heard a preacher preach with tears? When was the last time you heard a preacher sweat? Heard a preacher sweat? Saw a preacher sweat. Amen. When was the last time their veins popped out? And they said, and they challenged your heart, and you caught that. Fire.
Amen.
Intensity. You know why you're not winning souls? Hello, I am Brother Hollers from the Gospel Light. You know, first 2 years I was at Gospel Light, I didn't know what to say. I came from Baptist Temple for 20 years. I got up there, I went to a chapel for 6 months, went to another chapel for 9 months, went to another chapel 6 months. I didn't know where I was at. I had to look at the track, see what track I was. I'm from. Hello, I am Brother Hollers. I am from Longview Baptist Church. Would you come to church with us sometime? You know what they're going to say? Get out of here. The Jehovah's Witnesses got more passion than that. Those stinking little Mormon punks got more passion than that. I wonder what happened if somebody knocked on the door and said, I'm concerned that you're going to die, go to hell. Won't you please get saved tonight? And tears run. I wonder what would happen. We had some passion. I wonder what happened if we cared. Said Jesus was moved when he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. Intensity. Then there has to be an investment made. Components of a vision need to be an investment. You need to pay the price. Visions are expensive. They're expensive. You know what? They're going to cost you something. It'll cost you some time. Going to cost you some effort. Hey, God knows, God forbid, but they may cost you some money. You want a vision? Got to be an investment made. You want a cheap religion? Go ahead, there's plenty of that around. You can stop about anywhere and get that. But you want that old-time religion? You want that revival fires? You want to see God move? Some of you remember those old days we packed that little old auditorium out over there when you couldn't hardly get down the aisle. I remember seeing Bill Castell walk the aisle that day. We didn't even have a soul winner talk to him. I remember that big old lanky guy getting back up in the back of the choir back there getting born again.
Yeah, man.
Amen. I remember old Jerry Cobb walking that aisle. Stood right in front of me and looked up at me with tears in his eyes and said, I want to be saved. I remember those revival services when that invitation would go 2 hours. That don't come cheap. All night prayer meetings. I hear them have these all night prayer meetings. They'll pray 5 minutes and sing for an hour. They'll pray 5 minutes and eat for an hour. That's not an all night prayer meeting. That's not an all-night prayer meeting.
Amen.
It's going to cost you. If you want something from God, if you want revival, it's going to be expensive. Give me that old-time religion. Oh, this modern stuff, it's cheap. It's shallow. It don't cost nothing. Come in with your shorts on. Turtleneck sweater, your casual services. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a bunch of casualties. What happened to that person that's willing to give God their best and come in? Well, I used to enjoy those times when I'd say, all right, before we get this started, now all the men come down here and let's pray. Before we even started, visitors sitting out there looking like, what's going on? But you know, I got a feeling they figured it out pretty quick. Because all of a sudden that Holy Ghost began to move in there. And man, time we got up and preached, time them evangelists got up and preached, hey, God was already there. Because we paid the price. An investment. Number five. It has to be involvement. It has to be involvement. It said in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, listen to this, and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. He said, Habakkuk, got a vision? Write it down, Habakkuk, and pass it around that others may run that read it. You know, can you see it? Can you see it? Habakkuk, wow, God's going to do that? Our God's that great? He's a pure eyes to behold evil? Why, God, we got, wow, glory to God. I want to do something for that God.
Amen.
I want to move. Listen, do you ever hear preaching? It just makes you want to get up and do something. You ever hear preaching? It makes you want to walk or run or shout or kick or build something or tear something down. Wow. Get a vision and spread it around. See what God can do. Some involvement. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? And then number three, the consequences of a vision. He said in verse 4, chapter 2, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live. After Habakkuk got this vision, he saw God and it moved him. He said, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the just shall live. How? Not by sight. Not by what you can figure out, but by faith. Are you living by faith? Are you doing anything for God by faith tonight? Martin Luther read that verse, and it lit the fire of the Reformation. He wrote about it in his commentaries on Romans, where he quoted, the just shall live by faith. John Wesley read it and started that great early days, not like they are today, but that great early days Methodist movement, where those Lollards, they called them, went all over England and then came to America and covered America. Just churches just like this one that went out soul winning, that won people to Christ and built a great on fire evangelistic church. The just shall live by faith. You got a vision? How about this novel idea? Ask God for one.
Amen.
Maybe somebody will hit this altar tonight and not go home. Do you get a vision? Maybe you ought to get on your knees by your back. Hey, maybe better than that, you ought to get on your face. In a back room somewhere. Not get up till your heart's on fire for God. Well, what you going to do with your life, son? Well, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to buy me a house, and I'm going to buy me a car, and I'm going to buy me a boat, and I'm going to buy me a motorcycle, and I'm going to buy me this, and I'm going to buy me that, and the world's going to die and go to hell.
Yeah. Amen.
God set somebody's heart on fire tonight. Father, Lord, please, please, God.